program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's Children's Hour. The selections for this hour are designed for school-age listeners. We will read books, poems, and other children's print material. This program is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is A. Michelle, and I am very excited to be with you today. Why did the tomato make friends with the lettuce? Because they wanted to catch up. What do you call two cats who are best friends? Perfect pals. What do best friends and glue have in common? They always stick together. What do you call two birds that are best friends? Tweethearts. So, have you guessed what the connecting theme is for all these jokes? They're about friendship. For this episode of the Children's Hour, and in honor of August 2nd, National Friendship Day, we've got a detective duck mystery for you. Written by Emmy Award-winning actor Henry Winkler and Lynn Oliver, in The Mystery at Emerald Pond, friends and neighbors at Dogwood Pond are invited to a picnic and game get-together at nearby Emerald Pond. At first, the games are more about making points rather than making friends. But when handsome host Maxwell Mallard disappears during the pinecone toss, everyone must work together to solve the mystery of the missing duck before it's too late for their new feathered friend. And now, Detective Duck, The Mystery at Emerald Pond. Chapter 1. One sunny morning, Willow Feathers McBeaver was hanging out with her best friend, Sal the Salamander, on the banks of Dogwood Pond. Sal was reading to her from a soggy scrap of a Sharkman comic book he had found on the shore.
Sharkman flashed his jagged teeth at the evil undersea witch and...
His reading was interrupted by a loud squawking from a blue jay who zoomed in from the direction of Emerald Pond.
"If you don't mind," Sal called to the blue jay overhead, "could you please pipe down? We are trying to read here."
"Yes, and we're at a really exciting part," Willow agreed.
"I'm afraid piping down is out of the question," the blue jay screeched. "I have been sent to deliver an invitation to all the residents of Dogwood Pond."
"An invitation?" said Willow. "What fun! Everyone has to hear this."
She let out a loud honk to call her father and the rest of her pond pals.
"Honk, honk."
Beaver McBeaver, Willow's father, who had raised her since she was a lost duck egg that had floated into his dam, rose to the surface of the pond. He slapped his flat tail on the water. That was his way of calling the pond squad together for a group meeting. Harry the catfish popped to the surface first, his fishy breath curling the grass along the bank. Flitter the dragonfly zoomed in from the dandelion patch, where she was sunbathing with her pals. Aaron the heron was only one wing away from where he had been poking for worms in the mud. Franny the frog swam in from her lily pad restaurant, where she and her son Tad were frying up a batch of flies. As usual, Snout the weasel was sneaking around, looking for an opportunity to snatch everyone's food.
"You have our attention," Willow said to the blue jay. "Go ahead."
"You are all cordially invited to attend the Emerald Pond Spring Games," he declared. "The event begins at 2 o'clock today. There will be games, food, contests, and jolly times for all. And maybe even a victory crown for one lucky creature.
Wow, spring games, Willow quacked. What a great idea.
I wish I had thought of it, grumbled Harry. All I ever do is pick up and spit out rocks at the bottom of the pond.
Maxwell has been working on the idea for 2 weeks,
the blue jay chirped proudly.
Maxwell, Willow said, her eyes lighting up with interest, is he the handsome mallard that landed on your pond over the winter?
The blue jay nodded.
He's the one. He's not only handsome with his shiny green head, but a great athlete. Maxwell can paddle across the pond in 20 seconds flat.
Big deal, said Sal. You should see how fast I can scurry across rocks. And by the way, who needs a shiny green head when you have yellow belly spots?
Sounds to me like someone's jealous, Aaron said.
Sounds to me like a fun afternoon, Flitter said. Are you planning on going, Sal?
Oh, you bet I am, Sal answered. That Maxwell isn't the only great athlete in these parts.
We're all going to go, Willow said.
Except me, Harry sighed. I'm not much on walking with my fins and all.
I'll leave you a nice bowl of stir-fried mosquitoes, Franny offered.
Sounds delish, Harry said. From behind a fern, Snout's eyes lit up. He had no interest in fun and games, but he was always interested in stealing food.
So, can I tell my pond mates that you accept the invitation?
The blue jay squawked.
Tell Max we'll be there with bells on, Willow said happily.
Oh, so now it's Max, is it? Grumbled Sal. I thought his name was Maxwell.
Willow didn't notice that the invitation had seemed to put Sal in a bad mood. She was too busy looking through her stuff box for her pretty red ribbon to wear in a fancy ponytail on top of her head. A new friend, lots of games, delicious food, an emerald green pond, and maybe even a victory crown. It sounded like a great day ahead. Chapter 2.
I'm ready,
Willow quacked, jumping onto a rock and twirling around.
How do I look?
She had picked up several objects from her stuff box to create a special look for the Emerald Pond Spring Games. Her head feathers were tied in a red ribbon she had discovered by the shore. Around her neck, she wore a ring of white plastic she had found floating in the water. She didn't know what it was, but it had a lot of human letters on it that looked very fancy.
You are the most beautiful daughter a beaver could ever hope to have, said her father.
Here's a bow tie I made for you from pond reeds, Willow said, reaching into her stuff box. I wanted you to look super handsome, which of course you already are.
What about me? Sal asked. How handsome do I look?
Sal jumped on the rock next to Willow and spun around on his two back legs to show off the cape he had put together from scraps of comic books. Sal loved to read comic book scraps. He liked to wear them, too.
You look good, Sal, Willow said.
You both look great, okay? Aaron said, flapping his big wings impatiently.
Now, can we go?
We want to be there in time for the first games.
We're going right now, Sal said. Don't get your feathers all ruffled.
Flitter zoomed up to Franny and buzzed in her ear.
Is it my imagination or is Sal extra crabby today?
I was thinking the same thing, Franny said. Maybe he's hungry.
I could whip him up a quick lily leaf smoothie, Tad said.
Y'all better get going, Harry burped from the pond. Try to have fun without me, if that's possible.
You are always the life of the party, Willow said.
In a smelly kind of way, Sal added.
You always say the nicest things, Sal, Harry said, letting out one last stinky breath before he disappeared under the water. Beaver McBeaver led the way down the path to Emerald Pond. Franny and Tad rode on his big flat tail. Sal jumped onto Willow's back, but when he grabbed onto her ponytail, she shook her feathers so hard he fell off.
What's your problem? Sal said. I don't want you to mess up my ponytail before we get there, Willow said.
But I always ride on your back, he sighed. I don't understand.
I just want to look my best for Maxwell. I mean, for all the new friends we're going to meet,
Willow said.
But where will I ride?
Sal asked.
I can't walk all the way to Emerald Pond.
Hop on my tail, said Beaver McBeaver. There's room for everyone.
Thanks,
said Sal, staring at Willow as he climbed aboard Beaver's tail.
At least someone is being nice to me.
That sneaky weasel Snout followed behind them, crawling on his belly and hiding behind each tree. His eyes glowed with excitement at the thought of the food he was going to steal at the spring games. There were bound to be oak leaves spread with crushed red berries, which was a favorite at local pond parties. The thought of it made his weasel tongue hang out of his mouth and touch the forest floor. It was close to 2 o'clock when they first caught sight of Emerald Pond. Surrounded by shade trees and thick fern grottos, the pond gave off a deep green glow. The sun shone through the branches and made the water sparkle like gems. As they gazed at the pond, there was a sudden quacking overhead. A big, beautiful mallard with a speckled brown body and a bright green head came zooming in from a grove of trees. He circled the pond once, then glided in for a smooth landing as if he were water skiing.
"Welcome, friends," the majestic duck said. "I am Maxwell, newly arrived at Emerald Pond, and I am proud to host our spring games. Our goal today is to make friends with our neighbors and enjoy our beautiful wilderness."
Everyone burst into applause. Willow gasped at the words of this amazing duck.
"I couldn't agree with you more," she cried out. "Hooray for Maxwell!"
Sal stared at Willow. She was flapping her wings so hard she almost lifted herself off the ground. She was acting weird. This was not the Willow he knew.
"What a wonderful day this is going to be, isn't it, Sal?"
Willow cried. She was talking to Sal, but looking straight at Maxwell. Before Sal could answer, Willow jumped into the pond and paddled to Maxwell. Sal stood on the shore and watched.
"A wonderful day for you," he said under his breath. "So far, it's not feeling too great to me."
Chapter 3 Maxwell had perched himself on a large gray rock in the middle of the pond. The forest rangers called it Rock Island, but to the animals who lived on Emerald Pond, it was a stage where they put on shows.
"Come join me on the stage," Maxwell said when Willow swam up to him.
"I wouldn't dream of it," she answered. "This is your pond."
"There's always room for a charming neighbor," said Maxwell. He reached out a web foot and helped Willow climb onto the rock. "There you go," he said. "Isn't that much better?"
"No, it's much worse,"
Sal blurted out from the shore. He turned to all their friends from Dogwood Pond and shook his head.
"Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? Somebody needs to tell Mr. Shiny Green Head over there that Willow is my best friend, not his."
Franny jumped off Beaver McBeaver's tail and hopped over to Sal, reaching out to rub his back with her sticky toes.
"Calm down, Sal," she said. "Maxwell's just being polite."
Hey, everyone," Flitter called, hovering in the air. "Look who's coming."
When they looked up, they saw all the animals of Emerald Pond in a parade, waving to greet them. They were carrying flags made of yellow daffodil petals. There was a mother duck, followed by five fluffy ducklings, an elderly turtle, a playful otter, a brightly colored kingfisher, three frogs, and a snowy white heron. At the end of the parade, there were even two snakes. Since they didn't have hands, they were not waving, but it seemed like they were smiling.
"Welcome, pond creatures of every shape and size," Maxwell called out. "We are here for fun and games and the glory of the sport."
Snout, who was hiding behind a tree stump, snickered to himself.
"Not me," he muttered. "I'm here for the glory of the snacks. And those baby ducks look mighty delicious."
Snout was drooling so much, it had formed a puddle under his sharp claws. He was just waiting for the right time to strike.
"For the first event," Maxwell shouted, "let's begin with the high dive. Willow, would you like to go first? I'm sure you're a graceful diver."
"You bet she is," Sal called out. "And how do I know that? Because I'm her best friend. That's how."
Willow and Maxwell swam to a tree stump that was going to be her diving board. Willow carefully removed her blue necklace and hung it on a low branch.
"Good luck," Maxwell said, as Willow took her place on the tree stump. "We're all rooting for you, even the tree roots."
"Oh, Max, you're so funny," Willow chuckled.
Sal rolled his eyes.
"Funny? I don't find that funny at all."
"Sal, you have to stop being so jealous," Franny said. "It's making us all look bad."
Spreading her wings and putting her webbed feet together, Willow dove off the stump, flew through the air, did a double twist, and entered the water without so much as a splash. It was a beautiful dive, better than any swan could have done. The crowd roared. When Willow came to the surface, she was expecting that the crowd would still be cheering. Instead, they were all shocked at what they saw. A plastic cup with fancy letters on it was balancing on her head. The plastic lid and a straw were still stuck in it.
"Oh, no," Beaver McBeaver said. Where did that come from?
There's a human town just up the road, the turtle replied. I hear they use a lot of plastic cups. It would be much better if they learned to drink from the pond like we do.
But how does that plastic get here?
Asked Flitter, landing on the turtle's shell.
Lots of ways, said the turtle. Rain, wind, flowing water, humans. They all carry plastic trash that ends up in our pond.
That's so sad,
Flitter said, wiping a tiny dragonfly tear from her giant eyes.
And dangerous, too, said the mother duck. I am always telling my ducklings 2 important rules. Don't kick your brother, and stay away from plastic bags.
Out in the pond, Maxwell helped Willow take the plastic cup off her head. As he removed it, she noticed that it had the same fancy letters that her necklace had. She wished Sal were there to read the letters. Maxwell carried the plastic cup to the shore and placed it on the bank. Snout was looking at it from his hiding place behind a rock.
That looks like a snack and a half, he thought.
Snout crawled out on his belly and snatched the cup. But when he sunk his sharp teeth into it, he spit it out immediately.
Yuck! He said. That tastes awful. They must be trying to poison me. But I'm too smart for that. I'll wait for the good snacks to come out.
Maxwell and Willow climbed onto the shore where all the animals were waiting for the next game to start.
How about if we do a land game this time? Maxwell suggested.
That's a great idea for us reptiles,
both of the snakes hissed.
How about the slither slide? We're really good at that. I can do a fine slither myself, Sal piped up. I have a nice slimy belly, perfect for slithering.
Both snakes set out at the same time, sliding on their tummies and heading downhill straight as an arrow. But not Sal. He took a wrong turn and found himself in the middle of a mud puddle. By the time he crawled out, both snakes had crossed the finish line.
I declare you the winners, Maxwell called.
Everybody cheered, except Sal, who was dragging his muddy body across the finish line.
That was just a practice run, right?
He said.
I'm ready now. Sal, that was for real, Willow said. You lost, but you'll have other chances.
I'm sure you'll find a game you're really good at, said Maxwell.
You don't have to feel sorry for me, Sal shot back. I'm a winner at heart. I can see that you feel bad, Willow said to Sal in her kindest quack. I'm fine, Sal said. You go hang out with your new best friend, Maxwell the Magnificent. I'm going to hop a ride with the turtle to the snack area.
Deep inside, Sal was hoping that Willow would offer to come with him to the snack table, but she didn't. Instead, she went with Maxwell to set up the next game. As Sal watched her waddle off with the handsome mallard, all he could think was,
I really have lost my best friend.
Chapter 4. The snacks were a wonderful sight to behold. The animals of Emerald Pond had made a table out of logs. On one end, all the victory crowns were lined up in a row, waiting to be given to the winners. The rest of the log table was covered with delicious treats. There was earthworm jam on crunchy oak leaves, wild berries stuffed into little pockets of rose petals, and acorn shells filled with mushrooms. Franny had brought a lily pad piled high with her famous French fried flies. She had said that anyone who could say French fried flies 3 times fast could have extra. Snout snuck over to the snack area. While the other animals were busy with the games, he ate all of the earthworm treats. He was such a messy eater that long globs of goopy jam were hanging from his nose. He was heading for the acorns when he was spotted by Maggie the snowy heron, who was circling overhead.
"Hey, weasel!" Maggie called out. "The refreshments are only for invited guests."
"Okay, okay," Snout said. "Don't get your long legs all in a twist."
He jumped off the table and hid behind a fern. His eyes lit up when he saw that the 5 baby ducklings were hidden nearby in a cluster of reeds.
"I wonder which one of those would make the best snack," he thought. "I like the look of the brown one with the orange bill."
In one quick move, he leapt into the reeds, opened his mouth wide, and snatched the little brown duckling.
"Mommy!"
the other ducklings quacked.
"Help! The weasel has dumpling in his mouth!"
Their mother, who was diving for worms nearby, froze in panic.
"Somebody save my dumpling!" she called out. "Help! Help!"
Suddenly, a loud honk echoed above the pond. Then there was a tremendous splashing of webbed feet and wings pounding the water. It was Maxwell, racing to the rescue. He aimed his shiny green head directly at Snout's face. Flapping his wings with all his might, he sped forward and crashed into Snout as hard as he could. Crash! Boom! Bang! Snout lost his balance and fell down to the ground on his back. His mouth flopped open. Dumpling took the opportunity to run and hide under her waiting mother's wings.
"Get out of here and never show your face again," Maxwell said, staring right into Snout's eyes. "You're nothing but a mean bully."
"I've been saying that for years. But does anyone listen to me?" Sal said.
"I do," Willow answered quietly.
"You are not welcome here ever again," Maxwell said, pointing a wing at Snout. "Now go!"
"You heard us. Get your bushy tail out of here," Sal yelled, peeking out from behind Beaver McBeaver's tail.
Snout scurried off into the forest, and everyone cheered as he left.
"Oh, Maxwell,"
the mother duck said as she gathered her 5 ducklings around her.
"I am very grateful to you for saving my little dumpling."
"It was so brave of you, Max," Willow said.
"What about me?" Sal said. "I was brave, too. I did a lot of yelling."
Willow nodded.
"Yes, you did. I bet your throat is sore. But let's face it, Max was the one who is the true hero. I think he should get a victory crown for bravery."
"Great idea, Willow," Beaver McBeaver said. "All in favor of giving a victory crown to Maxwell for saving Dumpling's life, say yes."
"Yes!"
everyone shouted all at once. Sal said yes, but only very quietly to himself.
"I'll bring the crown over to him,"
Flitter buzzed.
"Here, let me help," said the kingfisher.
I can balance it on my beak. The kingfisher helped Flitter carry the crown to Maxwell, and Flitter placed it gently on his shiny green head. Aaron the heron stepped forward and stood on one long leg.
I have learned over the years that scary moments are best followed by joyful ones, he said. Therefore, allow me to suggest that we play another game.
What a wise suggestion, Maggie the snowy heron said, high stepping over to Aaron and ruffling her feathers.
I have just the game, Maxwell said. It's called Bat Ball. Each of you gets a turn to try and bat a pine cone out over the water and hit the rock in the center of the pond.
I love the sound of this game, Beaver McBeaver said. My tail is a built-in bat.
I can swing a tail with the best of them, Sal said.
It's not fair, Flitter pointed out. I don't even have a tail, and I'm too little to hit anything that far.
No problem, Maxwell said with a smile in his quack. Right after this, we'll have a mini-game for all you mini-champions.
Yay!
Came a tiny cheer from all the insects. They were so happy that Maxwell was giving them a chance to be part of the spring games, too. The first animal up was Beaver McBeaver. Otto was pitching and had found a perfectly sized pine cone to throw.
What do you want? He called the beaver. My world-famous whisker ball or my lightning-fast claw ball?
Just toss me something I can hit, Beaver answered.
Otto raised the pine cone over his head, then let loose. Beaver swung at it with his mighty tail, hitting the pine cone so far it disappeared beyond the rock.
Whoa, big guy, hissed the snakes. You really sent that thing for a ride.
You're terrific, Dad, Willow said, but there's one problem. Now we don't have a pine cone to hit.
I'll swim to the other end of the pond and find it, Maxwell said. I'll be back before you can say quack-a-doodle-doo.
Why would anyone ever say that? Sal muttered.
We think it's kind of catchy, hissed the snakes.
Maxwell took off and flew low across the pond until he disappeared behind the rock. A few minutes passed.
I wonder what's taking Max so long, Willow said.
Yeah, we've already said quack-a-doodle-doo 63 times, said the snakes.
This is a real mystery, Franny added.
A mystery? Willow said. This is a case for Detective Doc,
she began to tap her foot, as she always did when she was thinking.
First of all, the pine cone floats, so it should be easy for Maxwell to see.
She tapped her foot some more.
That means he's looking for it on the water somewhere. But where? I know. If I honk, then he will honk back and we'll know where he is. Poof! Mystery solved!
Willow honked. Honk! But there was no answer. She tapped her foot some more.
Maxwell wouldn't fly away because we're in the middle of the games.
So she went on.
So, Something must be really wrong. But what could it be?
Maybe he crashed into a tree,
Flitter suggested. Willow shook her head.
No, he's a great flyer.
Maybe he got sucked into a mysterious vortex, like Electro Man in The Flight of the Alien Planet, book number 2, Sal said.
That's an interesting theory, Willow said, but there aren't any mysterious vortexes in our forest.
Sal nodded.
Good point.
So, that leaves me with one thought, Willow said. Something dangerous is keeping Max from returning. Sal, my official detective doc, answer is that Maxwell is stuck somewhere, and we have to find him.
Really? We do?
Sal said.
Yes, Sal, we do.
Chapter 5. Willow went into action and formed a search party to look for Maxwell.
Dad, Sal, and Aaron, you come with me, she said. Everyone else, wait on the bank in case Maxwell returns.
Nay, Otter, go with you, said Otto the Otter.
He broke into laughter.
Do you get it? It's a joke.
Yes,
Willow said.
We get it, but this is no laughing matter.
Okay, said Otto. All joking aside, I've lived in Emerald Pond since I was a pup, and I know every twist and turn along the bank.
That's good, Willow said. Let's go. We don't have a minute to lose. If Maxwell shows up here, somebody honk.
We can't honk, said the snakes. We don't have honkers.
Then hiss, said Willow. Just make it loud.
Otto led the way, followed by Beaver McBeaver. Sal rode on his tail. As Beaver picked up speed, paddling across the pond, Sal tumbled off and fell into the water. Otto swam up to him, doing the backstroke, as otters do.
Otto's Otter Taxi, at your service, he said.
Sal crawled up onto Otto's belly and stood on his hind legs looking out at the horizon. Aaron flew overhead searching for any sign of Maxwell. Beaver and Willow called out,
Max! Max! Where are you?
When they passed the rock in the center of the pond, they saw something floating in the water. It was bobbing up and down by itself.
That's the pine cone, Beaver said.
If that's the pine cone, then Max must be nearby, Willow answered. After all, he was swimming out here to find it.
Thinking like a true detective, Beaver said.
Aaron, Willow called. Circle around. See if you can spot Max.
Aaron flapped his mighty wings and swooped down low.
There's a big patch of hanging grass over there, Otto shouted to him. Be sure you look under it.
Circling to get a better view, Aaron saw something splashing from under the curtain of grass. He saw wings moving fast but going nowhere.
I see him, he cried out. It's Maxwell, and he's in trouble.
Beaver McBeaver, Otto, and Willow raced to the grass overhang. With all the splashing going on, they could barely see 2 duck feet and a shiny green head. It was Maxwell, all right, but it didn't look like him. Part of him was upside down, and his beautiful head was caught in a strange-looking blue trap.
I can't free myself, Maxwell called, his mouth filling with water.
Oh, no, Willow said. He's stuck in something. I've seen it before. I've even worn it before. I made a necklace out of it.
Humans use those plastic ring things to hold cans of drinks together, Otto said, and they always leave them lying around their campsites.
I found one in our pond, Willow said. I didn't know what it was, so I put it in my stuff box.
Well, whatever it is, we need to get it off him right now, Beaver McBeaver said. He'll drown if we don't. Beaver paddled quickly over to Maxwell, who was struggling hard to get free. The plastic ring was caught around his neck, and the more he struggled, the tighter it got. Stay calm, Beaver said to him, and I'll bite the thing off. Beaver sunk his two big orange teeth into the plastic ring, expecting the plastic to break in two, but nothing happened. He tried again and again. This human plastic was tougher than a tree trunk.
Dad! Willow cried. It's not working! Maxwell, are you okay?
No! He cried out. I'm all tangled up. I can't slide out of this thing.
This situation calls for slime, Sal said, and I'm an expert at that.
How can you help? Otto asked. You're just a little salamander.
Yes, but I'm a slimy salamander. And I know that slime makes things slippery.
In one brave burst of energy, Sal sprang into action. He jumped from Otto's belly, sailed through the air, and landed on Maxwell's head. Wiggling like a worm, he forced his body between Maxwell and the plastic ring that was trapping him.
Okay, Skin, you know what to do, Sal shouted. Get good and slimy.
Like all salamanders when they are disturbed, Sal's skin began to release a gooey slime that covered his back and his tail. The slime oozed out of him and onto the plastic ring.
Okay, Maxi boy, he shouted. I've made it nice and slippery. Now is your chance to slide out.
Maxwell took a deep breath and stretched his neck out as long as it could go. At first, the plastic held tight, but slowly, Sal's slime spread up and down his feathers. On each try, his neck moved a little farther out of the ring of plastic. At last, after four or five tries, his head slipped out of the ring. He turned himself right side up and bobbed to the surface, a free duck.
Sal, he said, you saved my life.
Sometimes slimy friends come in very handy, Sal said, jumping onto Otto's belly and taking a small bow.
You oughter be very proud of yourself, Otto said to Sal.
You're a hero, Willow said, just like the heroes in the comics you always read to us.
Yeah, I never thought my slime would become my superpower, Sal said.
I'm sure everyone is worried about you, Maxwell, Beaver McBeaver said. We need to show them you're okay.
Allow me to offer you my back, Maxwell said to Sal. It would be my honor to bring you in.
I've never ridden a mallard before, Sal said. Otto? Would you mind if I take Maxie up on his offer?
"Not at all," Otto said. "You've already ridden the Belly Special. Might as well ride the Feather Express."
Sal got onto Maxwell's back and settled in between his brown and white feathers.
"Just one thing before we go," Maxwell said. "That plastic ring, we can't leave it for another animal to get stuck in."
"That's true," Willow said. "And there's another problem with it, too."
Willow tapped her foot underwater and put all the clues together.
"I made my necklace from a piece of a plastic ring like this one," she began. "But my piece was little, which means that when plastic is left in the pond, it must break into smaller pieces. I'll bet the wind and the water and the rain keep breaking it into smaller and smaller bits. And when the plastic becomes really tiny, guess what happens?"
"What?" everyone asked all at once.
"We drink the water and swallow it, which means we're drinking that icky human plastic. And that is why it is very dangerous. Poof! Mystery solved."
"Wow! You are one smart detective," Sal said proudly.
"Totally agree," Maxwell said.
Then he turned and swam to the grassy overhang and picked up the plastic ring with his bill.
"We'll figure out how to get rid of this once we're on the shore," he said.
"We can get rid of this thing, too," Aaron called from above. When they looked up, they saw a plastic cup in his beak.
"That looks like the same cup that landed on my head during the diving contest," Willow said.
Aaron led the way as the others paddled across the pond. When the animals on shore saw them approaching, they all jumped up and down and cheered, except for the snakes, who slithered sideways and hissed a cheer. Once on land, Maxwell took his place in front of everyone.
"Earlier today," he began, "you gave me a victory crown for saving Dumpling's life. But there is one of us who has also saved a life. Mine. Sal, would you please step forward?"
Sal scampered up to Maxwell, puffing out his chest proudly as Maxwell held the victory crown up for everyone to see.
"Here you are, my friend," Maxwell said. "Your victory crown, given with all my respect for the hero you are."
"You know what, Maxie boy," Sal said. "You're a pretty okay guy yourself."
"So now we can all be friends," Willow said. "Sal, you don't have to be jealous anymore."
"Me? Jealous?" Sal said. "Why would I be jealous? There's room for all three of us to be best friends."
As the animals cheered, Maxwell reached out and placed the victory crown on Sal's head. It was so big that it slid off his head, down his neck and body, and knocked him off his feet.
"I love this crown," Sal said, getting up and dusting himself off. "But maybe you should keep this one, and we can make me one that's a little more salamander size."
"You may be small, Sal," Willow said, "but you sure have a big heart."
Chapter 6. When Maxwell told the animals how the plastic rings had trapped him, they were all so upset.
"I want to help,"
Flitter said.
But all of us insects are too little to make a difference.
Yes,
chimed in the ladybugs and grasshoppers and mayflies.
There's not much we can do.
That's where you're wrong, Willow said. We work together to save Max. Why can't we all work together to save your pond?
Yes, said Maxwell. We can turn our spring game teams into cleanup teams.
Then what do we do with all the plastic? Otto asked. Shoot it into otter space? After everyone had finished groaning, Maxwell had an idea.
There's a ranger station just up the hill, he said. We can collect all the plastic in our pond and take it there. That way, it won't be a danger to us, and the ranger can tell the other humans about the problem.
All in favor, say yes,
Willow said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Every voice was heard. One by one, each animal, no matter how big or how small, took a section of the pond and searched for the dangerous plastic. Flitter and her team of insects tried to pick up a coffee cup lid, but it was too heavy. Then they found a plastic straw and, working as a team, managed to remove it from the pond. The snakes, who were slithering along the ground, took the coffee lid that Flitter left behind and pushed it with their forked tongues toward the ranger station. The two turtles spotted an oversized plastic cup that said, "Rainbow Slush," in fancy letters on the slide. They squeezed it between their shells to pick it up and carry it slowly but steadily along the path. Franny used her sticky tongue to pick up a plastic spoon. Tad found a plastic fork. Together, they hopped along the path to the ranger station. All the animals did their part. The birds swooped down to find plastic bags that were caught in the reeds and ferns. Otto and Beaver McBeaver carried several takeout containers that had been used for food. Aaron and the Kingfisher used their long beaks to pull water bottles out of the mud. And the happiest team of all was the three new best friends, Willow, Maxwell, and Sal. Together, they picked up many, many bottle caps.
"What a team we are," Sal said proudly. "Look at this. We picked up 25 bottle caps."
"Well, two of us picked up 24 of them," Willow pointed out.
"And one of us picked up one," Maxwell said, "which is a perfect number for a salamander."
By the end of the day, the pile of plastic in front of the ranger station had grown into a small mountain.
"We did it!" Maxwell exclaimed.
"The ranger is going to be so surprised and happy tomorrow," Sal said.
"And he'll realize what a problem his pond has and do something about it," Willow said.
"I say it's time for a party," Sal said. "Who wants to celebrate?"
He turned to all the animals gathered around the pond, but they were all fast asleep. It had been a long day.
"What a bunch of potty poopas," Sal said.
"Actually, I could use a little nap myself," Willow whispered. "Saving a pond can make a duckling pretty tired."
"We can celebrate tomorrow,"
Sal said with a yawn.
"Yes, my friends," agreed Maxwell. "There is always tomorrow."
The three of them snuggled up close to one another. Willow and Maxwell put their wings around Sal,
and before long, all you could hear in the quiet forest was the sound of three best friends snoring. The end. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. This Children's Hour program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I hope you will join us next week for Children's Hour. If you have any comments or ideas, we'd love to hear from you. I'm A. Michelle. Thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. Cats love the outdoors. But cats are also one of the biggest threats to birds, killing as many as 4 billion a year in North America. And indoor-outdoor cats live much shorter lives than indoor-only cats. For cat parents, it can be a really tough choice whether or not to let your cat outside. But there are ways everyone can win. Enter the cat patio. Or catio.
What is a catio? I get asked that a lot. It's an enclosed outdoor cat space designed to keep cats safe and entertained and stimulated.
Cynthia Chomos designs and builds catios for a living. They enrich an indoor cat's life, offering a safe and exciting version of the outdoors.
Just seeing your cat come out and follow their nose and see their whiskers and their ears are up because they're hearing new sounds.
And they don't need to be complicated. You could build a small and simple DIY catio, like a little window box where your cat can bask in the sun. Or you can build huge structures that you and your cat can spend time in together.
Catios are the best of both worlds. You can keep cats safe. They can watch the birds from a distance. And the birds and wildlife are protected.
You can hear a whole lot more about catios and other solutions for keeping birds and cats safe on our podcast, Bring Birds Back. Listen in your podcast app or on birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Hi, my name's Owen Devlin, and this is my story. When my doctor told me I was losing my vision, I was devastated. I worried about my future. How would I attend college, find a great job, start a family, or even travel around my own neighborhood? Luckily, my doctor also told me about the Mass Commission for the Blind. They connected me and my family to a counselor who helped us to set a vision for my future, one that included assistive technology to allow me to go to school and find a meaningful job, a white cane to help me navigate, and even tips on how to use Google Maps on my mobile phone. I found out that losing my vision wasn't the end of the world.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.